Welcome back to Shotgun the Orcs podcast. It's your hosts, Tom and Aidan. Today, we are joined by a very special guest. He's been in the game for close to two decades now. He's the unsung lyricist, greatest unknown, big foot of the penmanship. It's Rex. How are you doing, man? Welcome to the podcast.
Peace. Appreciate you taking the time with me. I'm excited to talk to you guys and, you know, build with the people about like this new project and what I got in store coming up. So thanks for taking the time.
No, man. Thank you. And as I was mentioning before we started recording, you're actually our first guest from across the ponds. So it's a big deal for us, man. So appreciate you reaching out. You're in Florida, right? Because I was going to say, is it quite hot where you are at the moment?
Yeah, it's the past couple of weeks has been a really rainy, but rainy in Florida is not your typical. It's like it rains for like, you know, 30 minute spots, and then it's like the sunshine nonstop. So it's like a back and forth, like, you know, play on the weather system. But like we enjoy it, man. We got the pool in the back, so we're like doing good out here.
Oh man, it's freezing here, man. I mean, we're British, so it's customary. We talk about the weather for 5 minutes before getting into anything else. You know what I'm saying?
I know that weather out there, man. I'm not like, I gotta tell you, London area and in the outskirts and anything in like Seattle and in the outskirts, I'm good with that weather, man. It's too much for me.
Yeah,
that's why I'm in Florida now.
Yeah, the thing with London is because when you go right into the centre, because there's so many high rises and stuff, it's either like really hot and sway, or you've just got wind tunnels for all the streets, man.
Yeah, bursts, right? I can only imagine.
I was just thinking, like, it's mad. And when Tom said about how you're our first sort of stateside guest, how, you know, we do what we call a UK hip hop podcast or UK rap podcast, whatever you want to call it. And from the birth of hip hop over in the States, you're the first sort of guy that we've had on from the States. And it's weird how, even though the UK is taken on the rap scene from the US and whatever, there's still, unfortunately, there isn't that still that sort of same direct link.
It's
differentiated in a way, you know.
Well, you guys have always had unique ability to, like, you know, kind of transcend and do something a bit different than what everybody else was, rather than follow the trends. Not to say that other countries, like, you know, follow what the U.S. did with hip-hop, but like I really am impressed by like the grime and like the different vibrations that come out of the U.K. and areas that, you know, just have unique abilities to do offshoots. Like if you go to like South America or some of the Caribbean, when, you know, you got reggaeton and different sounds that, like, you know, are like unique offshoots of like the original style. So I super love that and I respect it completely.
I think and we always come back to this, you know what, mate, I rate so much French rap, French hip-hop. It's mm-hmm. nice sound to it, especially with the language as well, man. You don't have to understand the language and it just rolls off and you can still enjoy it lyrically.
Yeah, it's really a beautiful sound and music. So, like, I appreciate it, too. I can see the same thing. You know, there's a bunch of – everybody knows the harsher tone languages. Like, I'm learning German right now. And, like, you know, a lot of people I got a lot of fam out in Poland. And, like, they just got a harsher, more aggressive sound. The further east you go, like, the more you get, like, the harsher tones and what have you. And so it's a bit of a different feel. Not to say that the love and the ingenuity isn't there or that it's lacking, but like you can see a vast difference.
Yeah man,
it's sick that it's worldwide. But just out of interest, man, why are you learning German? That's cool. Just something you wanted to do or specific reason?
Well, prior to the outbreak of what's going on in our world right now, you know, my consistent travels to Europe, like 3-4 times a year, you know, it was important for me, even though like English is a proven language in a lot of like vicinities, I found that, like, you know, just learning another language that like is more valuable and more rich to the culture within the environment that I was in was a good approach to doing things. So like it just was necessary for me from that standpoint, out of respect for like where I was as an artist.
I really rate that, man. And how's you obviously just touched on it, but how's 2020 been treating you? Obviously, like, the US gets a lot of media attention, but it's good to get a perspective by talking to someone in real life versus from scrolling on a news feed. You know what I mean? So, how's day to day life been over there stateside?
I can tell you my day to day life and my family village juxtaposed against what's really happening out here and what individuals are doing outside of our environment, because we disconnect from all this nonsensical, chaotic environment that we're forced to be accustomed to, unfortunately. Now, our day to day consists of, like, you know, the same thing we were doing prior to the pandemic, or the, whatever you want to call what's happening right now, which is a lot of yoga, meditation, reading, and, like, you know, self-healing and self-help, health and wellness. And the environment around us is very toxic. So, like, you know, the goal for us when we enter into that kind of environment is no different than it's always been. And we are very mindful and respectful of, like, other people's space and their feelings about what's going on. So, you know, the masks obviously are a typical thing out in the U.S., Florida, no matter where you are, really, the same things that were going on when we were in Massachusetts. It's the same thing that's going on, like, down here in Florida. You know, people are, you know, a bit lost, afraid, confused about what's really going on, and they just want to be cautious and mindful. Everybody who has children out there or loved ones who are a bit older, they're a bit concerned. And the United States is big on propaganda and feeding into, like, the sense of fear and the sense of, like, you know, restlessness and anxiety. And so that's a lot of what's being portrayed. And because of what's being portrayed, you're seeing a lot of that have effects on people's mental health and their physical health, because, you know, you're being trapped up inside the house. And when you are going outside, you have this freakish, like, zombie-like state.
Yeah, man.
Oh, man. I don't know if it was different over in the States, but whenever things sort of kicked off over here, it was a strange sort of idea, because, like, half of the population were like, you know what, we're gonna sort of roll back, take it easy, and you know, sit tight until it blows over. And a lot of other people, especially creative people, were very much like, oh, I'm gonna use this as a time to just be as creative as possible, build a home studio and all that sort of shit. But then it got to a point where it was actually, do you know what? You also need to sort of be mindful of your mental health in a way as well, because it's very easy to, especially when the only, your only channel when you're in quarantine or in isolation is social media, and you see all these people being productive and all that shit and making music and whatever. But then it's like, you can only really do so much. And I think over here it's been like, there was this super sort of merged, let's be proactive and let's do all this shit. And then it sort of came to a standstill where it was like, well, actually, you don't need to really prove to anyone. Has it been similar like that over in the US at all? Or?
To a degree, I would say. Like, I feel, if I understand you correctly, I believe, like, you know, there are individuals who are out here and utilizing this time to be proactive and to do what they need to do to, like, you know, not only be creative as they were, or maybe it lit a fire under them to be even more creative and come up with new techniques and ways of, you know, dealing with such a unique circumstance. But then you got individuals who are taking the time to find new ways. For instance, I used to go to the gym. I can't go to the gym. So now, you know, my oldest son, him and I just have, you know, a date specifically, you know, at a certain time where we're just sitting there and we follow a specific YouTube channel and we do our little workouts together. And I do my typical yoga that I do. I spend time doing meditation with my wife, and then I do my own meditations throughout the day. And so, there are individuals who do cut something quite similar to that. I like to like speak about what we do because that's something that I like to get out to other individuals who might be feeling depressed, might be dealing with anxiety, and to promote, not specifically to say like, you know, you have to be living this kind of lifestyle. But I mean, I think it's something that is very beneficial for people out there who want to feel better and want to feel invigorated in an environment that's like, again, like not to overuse the phrase, but it is very toxic.
Yeah,
man. It's like a nice, like healthy alternative. And I think that is healthy, man. Cause I think if a lot of people who are already anxious and they're just, it's amplified, their feelings are kind of amplified by this whole situation, and it is absolutely toxic, as you say, but yeah. Without kind of mindful not to spend too much time talking about 2020 and all of that kind of thing and getting into the music, do you know what I mean? Which is what I really want to dig into today, man. But, your new album, Things, so The Hunger Inside Never Gets Satisfied, dropped in September, and it's your 12th album, man. So firstly, congratulations on that milestone. It's a fantastic record, man. I have to say, absolutely fantastic record. It balances your usual brand of social commentary really well with your personal experience, which I absolutely love, man. I also saw that video on your Instagram of R.A. the Rugged Man giving it a little endorsement as well, and I thought, that's I had to agree with him, man. Everything he said, man. Yeah, I completely agree with him, man. But getting into it, tell us a little bit about how the project came into fruition and how long it's been in the pipeline, man.
So the focus on creating the project has been a couple years in the making, in the mind frame, first of all, the concept, how I came up with the idea for Things in the acronym, The Hunger Inside Never Gets Satisfied. It was this comedy special I was watching on the late, and the great, George Carlin, who I'm a big fan of. I'm a huge fan of Carlin, and his bit was about stuff and all the stuff we accumulate in life that has a tendency to be worthless, but we value so highly. Like, for instance, since you have this desk in the bedroom, and on top of it, you don't know where all these items came from. And like, after a period of time, you're like, where did this all come from? And when I was thinking about the concept of that, it's like, yo, I'm looking at our personal lives and like what we value. And I knew, you know, where my life was kind of heading and trying to form a perfect parallel of the life of the world that we live in the 2000s, where we're and life before this, but like more so in the time I'm watching us develop, I'm seeing how materialistic we are in nature as human beings, and the things that we try to accumulate over the span of our lifetime. And I'm like, the things that I value so highly are more personal things that aren't really tangible, but like are so are of such quality, you know? And so I wanted to take that concept of stuff and flip it on its head and turn it into a more in-depth, deep thought out project. And that's the culmination of like just that homage to one of the great spokesmen for people in justice on injustices and in social commentary in general. He spoke on politics, economics, and everything that was like important to the people. So like it was important for me to like kind of like throw that homage out to him.
Oh, I rate that, man. I mean, the opening track, for example, it seemed almost like a confessional where you talk about your kind of day to day and family impacts to your music and taking time out to deal with, you know, day-to-day life. I mean, I think there was a bar that you said, slave for the rhythm, I can't stay, implying that you needed to take some time out and then come back to things. But it just kind of really set the tone of the album. Yeah, man. As coming to expect from previous projects that you've had over the years, this one boast some really big production credits, including the likes of Static Selector, I know you've worked with before, and a bit of a tangent. So I first heard you back on Population Control, I think it was like 2011, which put me onto your Rex album, obviously, with like 25th Hour with DJ Premier. And then I went down the rabbit hole and discovered at that point that you had already been around for like almost a decade at that point, so I had a lot of catching up to do. But yeah, man, I think that population control record I had on earlier as well, and it was just like a trip down memory lane because I discovered so many. Obviously, it had a lot of kind of OGs on there, but it had a lot of like up and comers at the time. So I think I first listened to like John Connor and like Freddie Gibbs, and I think Mac Miller was on that. That was crazy, man. So, sorry, that was a bit of a tangent, but going back to this one, you've also got
just to like kind of like jump off of what you're saying. I mean, I appreciate like the way you found me, and I think Static is great for that in bringing out some great individuals that people might have not readily have even seen. You know, with the projects that he was putting out throughout the course of his career, his very very well storied. Respectable career that he's created and the discography that he's had on display. And he's so far from done. You know, it's like, it's just super dope to like, you know, be a part of that, that machine that kind of churned with, which was Show Off in its infancy and like, and what it has become over the years. And I feel great and blessed to be like in the presence of like so many dope producers over the course of my career who have blessed me with, you know, some timeless music. You mentioned Premier, you mentioned Static, but you know, the likes of Large Pro and Knots, who's a mainstay for me, one of the giants, who's one of the underappreciated giants who does so much valuable work to Alchemist and Evidence. Now I did like a few records with Evidence on this one, and a few with Apollo, which was super dope. You know, and so
I'll tell you, somebody is super undersung in my opinion on your album is Knots, and he's one of my favorite producers, man. And he produced the titular track on the album, didn't he?
He did the title. He did the title, and that was very important. That was a very important piece to like for him to display. And yo, I know I can always go to Knots for that incredibly super dope bass line driven Diddy. Like, yo, when he does with bass lines and what he does with the atypical like boom bap like sound and records, I think it's sort of unmatched, you know. So he is one of the GOATs for us, and like, you know what I mean, again, super unsung.
What was the record that I own years? You Need This Music, I think. And like on the cover art was just like a knife and fork cutting apart, like vinyl or something. Oh man, that album was sick. The Eminem sample. Yeah, sorry, on a bit of a tangent. We tend to do this on the podcast, man.
Hey, it's cool, man.
Just geeking out. Besides being kind of dope with it as a producer, is there any kind of specific style or sound that you kind of gravitate towards when you want to collaborate with someone?
Nah, not specifically. And like, I know over the course of my career, I've been like, you know, kind of put into this box that I've had to like kind of segue out of, which is the boom bap sound, which I love boom bap hip hop, and I'm always gonna have that be a mainstay in what I do as far as my music. But I want out, if you guys know some dope grind producers who want to send my stuff my way, send them my way. If you know some heads who do something like super not typical sounding for X, I'd love to like, you know, challenge myself to be in those kind of pockets. And that's very, very important for me, especially now that my career is like, you know, further along and I've been able to do a lot with this music thing. I want to show the versatility. I want to show that like there's so much more that I can do than that boom bap sound. You know, I feel that that's what I accomplished most with things is the ability to like have a sound bed that kind of, you know, had a more ebb and flow and good vibration to it, and had some of the newer feels to it as well.
Yeah, man. Because I know that you, I was watching an interview with you from a few years ago, and you mentioned that you were a fan of Drake, which was, you were saying it's quite surprising to some to learn that. And I get it, because it's like he's a talented artist, etc. But he's kind of a topic of conversation here in the UK, because he co-signed quite a lot of grime artists. Mm-hmm. And made them kind of, you know, brought them to kind of like a global platform, like the likes of Dave and Giggs and others. It's a bit of a point of contention here, isn't it?
Term people use is Drexit.
Yeah, it's funny because he's really divided opinion here. Do you know what I mean? In terms.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy.
They call it Drexit, huh? That's creative. Well, I mean, listen, I value the art that Drake brings to the table and allows opportunity for individuals on various platforms, and I can appreciate a more youth, even outside of Drake, but like a more youthful sound, like of today's artistry, coming from the States specifically, some of the artists on Dreamville and artists like DaBaby and you know, like these are artists that, like, you know, aren't typical. People would like hear Rex mention these artists and then, like, you know, it'd be like, yo, you bugging. And it's like, to me, art is art, and allow people to like have their space for creative outlet. That's most important to me. And at the end of the day, dope is dope. That's all that matters to me. I don't really want to. And back in the day, I'm a far cry from who I was maybe probably 10 years ago, even when, you know, I was a super judgmental in my lyrics specifically. I was very judgmental of anything that wasn't following the traditional aesthetics of what we were supposed to quote unquote call hip hop. And that's what pigeonholes ourselves as musicians, as artists, and as a whole. What we need to do is find value in things that are different.
Yeah, man, that's growth as well, isn't it? As a person,
yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a good thing to be. It's you know, everyone went through that phase. Like, even as a, I'm not an artist, but I'm a consumer, I'm a listener, I'm a fan of hip hop music, and yeah, like past me was all over that kind of you know, that line of thinking. I was very much like blinkered to it. I was like, nah, if it's not boom bap, if it's not like, you know, kind of East Coast New York sounding hip hop, I don't want to know. I don't want to listen to it.
Right,
but I just, you know, you just grow up and you learn to appreciate different things, and that's just part of being human, right? But
absolutely.
And it's cool when you surprise people by saying, yeah, I'm actually like a fan of, like, you know, X artist who's like considered to be, I don't know, a bit commercial, this, that, and the other, because, you know, some things are just a vibe, aren't they? They don't necessarily have to be the most lyrical or you know, it can just, if it bangs in a club, man, or if it slaps and it sounds good, then what's the harm in that? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. I couldn't say it best. And also, I couldn't say it better than that, I should say. So, kudos to that. Like, real talk, though, like, for me, I stopped, like, with my, having my visor and my glasses honed on what other people were looking at, what they were thinking, and how they viewed the things that I said, did, or how I moved and operated. When I stopped doing that and I started in being more internal and focusing on me, myself, and not really being concerned about the outside world, that's when I was able to be comfortable in my own skin. Like, you know, I feel like a lot of people need to do a lot more self-reflection and find comfort and solace in being who you are, and not really being concerned about what other people deem valuable and what society says is okay. I really don't care. I feel I have nothing to prove. You know, I've done enough to create a sound legacy and a sound platform for like my progeny and those coming after me. So it doesn't really matter, man. I'm just gonna keep doing what I do, making as powerful impact as I can on the people, and I'm gonna continuously set the stage for my young ones. You know.
Legacy is a good segue as well, because you've got the track on the album Legacy Driven, which is evidence produced that from Dilated Peoples. It's a really, really smooth track, nice saxophone on there. Did you pen those bars? Did you write that track after the majority of the album? Just because it's so kind of 2020 yeah. centric, isn't it? Where you refer to the yeah. pandemic directly and that kind of thing.
Specifically, yeah, and that's a good catch. And like, you know, a lot of times, even with the other records, people thought just because of what was going on with the social injustices and things of that nature, they thought that a lot of the material was all penned, post pandemic, post, like, you know, this like new modern, new normal 2020. But like, specifically, the Legacy Driven record was one of the last records on there, and it was like the most, you know, let's kind of like finish off this album in the best way we can. And it just made sense. The not just that record, but the Evidence records themselves were kind of the last bits. And I knew I needed a sound that the chances that Evidence and Alchemist are taking with their production, I love. And I love that they don't really care what people have to say about the way they're producing. There's so many people who have questions about stripping down records and having them at their bare essential, and allowing for a mood to be set just based by the instrumentation, rather than being so focused on things being drum heavy and having that kind of vibration, which is so atypical of boom bap hip hop. I love what they're doing. I love that they strip it down and they allow the MC to narrate in a way that kind of like marries the mood.
Because Griselda are doing that a lot as well, aren't they?
Yes, like, of course. That's the definition of it. Like they were day one the ones who are doing it. Really, Griselda. So salute to them for everything that they're doing to impact the culture.
Yeah, man, they are killing it at the moment. I think, as you say, just that kind of stripped back, just like gritty. It's just bars, really, like kind of luscious production, isn't it? It just sounds so crisp and clean and
open. Leaves room for narration and so much more. I feel like, you know, the other records are incredible for what they are, but a lot more busy, and so because of the busyness of the record, it limits you in some degree.
Yeah, definitely, man. I guess it just all depends on like on your bars and your kind of like style and your flow and all of these different things as well. It's just the perfect marriage of those guys, isn't it? It just like just clicks so well. But going back to your project, man, I mean it tackles like a multitude of topics are very relevant in society today. I know you talked about Carlin earlier, but I mean there's it's a 19 track album, which in this day and age is a statement. Do you know what I mean? With the way people digest music. And, you know, there's an argument for rap purists are still going to seek out good feature, you know, albums, and they're going to listen to the physical. They're going to take time to really digest it and appreciate it. But the counter argument is that, you know, kids just like a song, they put it on a playlist, they move on to the next thing. So is this something that you are kind of conscious of when you kind of go into making a record like this?
I have to say it's hard not to be conscious of it, because there's so many. I've learned to tune out the noise on the outside. So being the noise being family, friends, and all the experts on, you know, what your music should sound like, what you should do as far as promotion, what you should do. I've had people walk me through the stages of my career throughout my career. So like I'm comfortable in just, you know, being like, I gotta tune out the outside noise and just do what I feel is best and make it as aesthetically to the point of what I want it to be. So the quality of the music was where I wanted it to be at 19 records. I felt like when I did what I did, I didn't do it based on, you know, today's listener not being able to be able to catch on to like the music, because it's so long in terms of like the breadth of the entire record. I just wanted to make something that was cohesive throughout from beginning to end, and I felt like we accomplished that. So that's all that matters, you know, and the rest will work itself out.
Definitely, man. I mean, you talk you go into kind of deep dive into a lot of different topics, from like race relations to like white privilege. You've got that Rachel Green track on there, and her middle name's Karen, isn't it? So I was just like, that actually made me laugh.
Rachel Karen Green, that's right.
Yeah, man, from Friends. I was just like, oh, that's funny. I didn't pick it up until I heard the Central Perk bar, and I was like, oh yeah, that makes sense now. But there's a lot going on in this album, man. It's I really enjoyed the Miss Education song as well, where you say it's the educator becomes the regulator. And it's kind of unlearning what you have been told, all this kind of like misinformation and like whitewashing of history and all of this kind of thing. Yeah. There's so much to take and pull apart from this album, man. So I think, if going back to my point previously about, you know, creating an album 19 tracks long, I think if you are into hip hop, and you'll have a lot of fun picking this apart and breaking the bars down and getting a lot from it. Do you know what I'm saying? So, I could ask the cliche question, where do you get your inspiration from? But it seems clear to me that you're just kind of getting it from life, you know, and what you're seeing and living through.
Absolutely. I can tell you artists who have been very impactful for me. Even though it is like a little bit of a cliche thing, like I kind of have a Rolodex that's a little eclectic. So it's super dope to like get out there and state to, for somebody who doesn't know, as impactful as KRS-One has been on my career. So is Stevie Wonder and Bob Marley. And, you know, it's incredible to have like, you know, a breadth of artists, but like, I feel like I've always gravitated to individuals or groups who were socially conscious and socially aware because of what was going on in my personal environment. So you kind of hit it on the nail perfect when you said that, you know, I'm impacted by what's going on around me and like, you know, the climate of the environment in the day. Those things have definitely been important to me. And that's why, you know, I listen to who I listen to.
Yeah, man. And how did you, because you got into hip hop through like breakdancing, right? Is that how you started off before you rapped? So yeah. But what was your kind of inception to listening to the music? Or like, was it kind of like growing up? Was it like musical parents? Like what was your background? How did you get into your love of music?
My parents weren't really into music, but it was music was being played in the household. My grandparents are Jehovah's Witnesses. As long as I can remember, my grandmother was a Jehovah's Witness and my grandfather wasn't a Jehovah's Witness at the time, which was a really weird environment.
How does that work?
As a youngster. But then, like, you know, as I got older, my grandfather became a Jehovah's Witness and they've been witnesses forever. And another thing, I used to be a witness as a little kid. I was like, maybe like 8 or 9 years old. I had this little period where I would like go to my grandparents so I could go out and knock door to door with them, like knocking on people's door and handing out watchtowers and awakes and preaching to them about preaching the good word of being a witness. You know, I don't believe in these belief systems these days, and not to touch on religion and what have you, but it always had an impact. All these things were experiences for me that kind of like led me to being who I am to this day. So that was super dope to have even those opportunities, because those were influences for me too.
Definitely, man. I mean, with the like the pandemic impacting live shows, I know as an independent artist, it's kind of a big part of, you know, your livelihood, right? Like touring and not just producing a record and putting it out there, but it's kind of getting yourself out there and the live shows, merch and all of these things. So just obviously I really, really hope that kind of takes off soon. And I know that you've got a string of shows coming up in December. I think you've got some Zoom links for that too.
Yeah. You can finish. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to.
No, it's all good, man. I was just going to ask you, like, on the live show tip, like back in the olden days when people could go on tour, did you have any kind of like standout places where you'd like to perform? Like who gave you the best energy?
I gotta tell you, like, you know, I love the UK. I love all of Europe. Europe is like a mainstay in my travels. Poland has always been like the livest shows, and the most odd aspect of it, a lot of times I've had shows in the beginning where there were artists, they would spit every like lyric that I had, right? And then I'd go and talk to said individual and they spoke zero English.
That's and mad. I'm like,
and I was mind boggled by how into it and how, you know, like how incredible hip hop is such a gap bridger, and that it allows individuals to like, you know, literally learn the way I'm learning about the German language is like through watching all of my Netflix episodes are like in German. They're set to like German with English translations, and I'm like watching everything in German. And so
quite a good idea, actually.
My family is losing their mind. And I can see how individuals can, like, you know, get to that point, and I should start listening to, like, more German artists, because I can see where those Polish artists get it, our Polish fans got it from, and that's truly, like, where I think I got the most impactful fans, like, you know, in terms of, like, the high energy and, like, aggression, like, really aggression, like, Live Wire, I think it would be Poland.
And when
you
go from the States to a country, because Poland's quite far from the States, man.
Like, culturally, too.
That's
yeah.
a big jump. And yeah, like you say, culturally, to go over there and to perform and to get that sort of reception, like, what's that like? That must be crazy.
It's otherworldly, honestly. It's a crazy experience. I remember one of my very first shows in Poland was I opened up for MOP. And what had happened was during that time when Action Bronson was first scheduled to come out to Europe, and he ended up having some issues. I forget where he got tied up, and he had to cancel a slew of shows. And so he had to cancel that show where he was opening for MOP at the time. And I just happened to still be in Czech Republic at the time, finishing a show, and I was staying with some friends out there for a couple of more days. Mm-hmm. And I got hit up. I had management at the time. I haven't had management in over like 10 years, but like at the time I had a manager, and he hit me up and he was like, yo, do you want to go to Poland tomorrow? You'd have to jump on like a train right now. And I did. I just jumped on a train and I rode mad long to like, it was so odd. It's like I was being stared at mad crazy on this little train. And I got there and like, yo, it was love though. It was super love. Like, I got there and it was like actually an old it was an old bunker from World War II that was done over.
Oh shit.
And we did this performance and it was incredible. It was one of like the most incredible shows I've had in Europe. And I've since performed there probably like 3 or 4 times in that same venue, but that first one, there was nothing like it. And obviously being at a show with MOP, I've been blessed to, like, you know, work with
Lil Fame, man. And, yeah, I mean, he's on
and consistently do shows with them, and it's they never cease to amaze me at what they do.
Is that how you link then?
No, actually, nah. I knew them from before. Like this was after like Fame had been on the Grey Hairs album, and mm-hmm. I had actually toured with them prior to this, but this was like my first like real show in Poland, like I believe. But like prior, like I actually did a tour with them and La Cocca Nostra at the same
time. Man, yeah, like Slain and Ill Bill, and yeah
it was, man. Like, it was La Cocca Nostra. Actually, Slain wasn't actually there. Slain is a homie, and this was like Slain, like Wild Out Slain. Slain is so different than he used to be.
Yeah, he's been sober for years now, hasn't he?
From everything, which is like hats off to his ability to, like, you know, kick a habit that devastates so many individuals and families. But like Slain is like a super dope example of somebody who has kicked his habits and remained successful and a beacon of hope for a lot of people out in the world who are dealing with like hardship. So
he's been in movies and everything, man. It's just like, yeah, fucking crazy, isn't it? Like,
he's had a pretty dope career, and he's like far from finished. So like that, I love my brother Slain. Shout out to him.
Oh man.
And like I said, that first tour, that tour with those dudes and Show Off, myself, Static, Terminology, Dead Eye, it was pretty crazy.
Oh man, I can imagine. I mean, like MOP tour, it just sounds mental. Because they get live, don't they? Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
So
oh, yeah.
What's kind of like the fit for public consumption? What's the wildest shit that's gone down at a show?
Listen, I'm on my meditation and internal like focus. Like, yo, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
I got you, man. Not even a PG.
I'm a fart. Like, I'm a believer in Shitat Nata, and like, I like, you know, in renewal and being born again on a daily basis every time we wake up. So Yeah, we are a far cry from those days.
So listeners, use your imagination.
From the big Hennessy handles to the face, like we're far removed from those days.
Oh man, that's crazy. Yeah. But I mean, like normally I would ask the question, if you could get a beat from any producer, dead or alive, who would it be? But you've already rapped on like Primo, Alchemist, High Tech, Evidence, like. It's kind of redundant, but I mean, I'm gonna ask you anyway.
Dre, I mean, there's Dre. I haven't done anything with Dre. Like, I mean, I don't know if anyone's done anything with Dre in a long time, but you know what I mean. But like a Dre, I would say Dre. Like Just Blaze is somebody who I would love to like work with. A pre modern era Kanye would be super dope. I would love to work with someone like Stevie Wonder. If you see Stevie Wonder just put a record out with Rhapsody and Busta Rhymes, and like, yo, so it's a record about change and it's super dope and it's right up my alley. He's a producer, an arranger, a composer, like who, you know, who just, he's just the music. So yeah. I would love to work with like, you know, a lot of individuals to this day. There's so many, man, and there's so many that I will work with. Odyssey's a real dope one that I would like to work with. Haven't had the opportunity yet, so there's some super dope producers out there, you know.
Yeah, man. I mean, there was early interviews, and not kind of messing with your kind of your new way of living, but earlier interviews where you'd be quite kind of candid about who you wouldn't want to work with. The UK, it's kind of funny because like we're quite like reserved here. It's kind of like what, but in the US, you're just like, yeah, I wouldn't work with like this guy, this guy, this guy. I'm like, I really rate that man. He just comes out and says it. Like, fair enough. It's not disrespectful in any way that you're saying it. It's just like stylistically at the time, you think maybe that's not a fit. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right. So, I think my olden way of thinking though was like more judgmental, and that's like we were talking about as far
takes
as
it back to that, yeah.
Like, yo, I would never take back how I felt then, because that's who I was, and in that place and time, that's just where I was. You know, who I am today, I wouldn't even approach artists like that. Like, some things are better left unsaid in my book now. And then in terms of who I am, as far as like when I hear another artist, I'd like to tackle like being able to work with some people who might be a challenge for me. Artistically, and maybe like to bring my styles closer to their styles and vice versa, and like us finding a healthy marriage of some sort.
Definitely, man. You know? Definitely. I mean, from a UK perspective, there's been some big exports from the UK to the US. I mean, like Slick Rick, MF Doom, both originally mm-hmm. from the UK. Are there any kind of UK hip hop or grime artists that you are like aware of, fan of, or is there anyone that you listen to?
I'm not, and I would love for you guys to give me a slew of artists that I could check out, and then come back and we build again, and I'll be like, listen, I listened to such and such, and this is who I'm rocking with, this is who I'm not rocking with. Well, we'll do that silently. who I'm not rocking with. I definitely want to hear something brand new that challenges me to like even like tackle as an artist. Maybe you'll find a grime record on one of my new albums.
We'll see, man. We'll see. But yeah, man, I can recommend a lot of UK artists who I think you'll rate. So yeah, man, it's always good to build. But I mean, you've got and we touched upon it earlier, you've got a string of live shows in December, I believe, which you're currently promoting. So tell us a bit more about that, man.
So the first week, December 4th, 5th, 6th, I'm going to be flying out to Boston. I haven't released the venues yet, because what we're doing, which is unique, is I'm going to do some super dope locations, but we're going to be respectful of the conditions that we're in right now. We're not going to have like a group of individuals, you know, partying hard and being unsafe, quote unquote, like in today's idea of what's safe and what's not safe. So we're going to be respectful of the time. We're going to find venues that are unique, that people will find engaging and interesting. I'm not going to let out the locations yet and the guests yet until we, you know, lock everything in, but it's going to be really dope. Boston, New York, and we're doing one in Miami. So I'm super excited about it. Got a lot of fam in all these areas, a lot of people who I work with and respect and value. So we want to bring it to the people in a way that is safe for everybody, but at the same time can include individuals like here. Like, I can send links to individuals overseas because obviously the time difference makes things a little bit difficult. But you're still able to watch it. Not necessarily live, unless you want to be watching a showcase at a wild hour, like in the day.
It's not unheard of, man. It's not unheard of.
Yeah, I mean, I did some wild shows like that in the past, where, like, you know, we were, like, specifically in Finland, where the lights never change, the time change never happens. So, like, you go into the situation when it's like light, and then you come out and it's still light. And it's like, yo, what's happening? Nothing has changed, you know. But definitely want people to, like, you know, rock with me for these showcases I'm gonna do. I'm going through a bit of withdrawal in terms of, like, not being on stage. So I'm really excited about getting back to what we do.
Respect, man. I hope it all goes well, and I'll be purchasing a ticket, man. I'll be watching it on Zoom. So yeah, we'll post the link in the show notes as well on the podcast and share on Instagram and all of that stuff. So we got you, man. But yeah, respect again, man, for joining us for a chat on the podcast. Before we wrap up, where can people find your music? Where can people buy physicals? Yeah, man.
I send everybody to the Instagram, the IG. First and foremost, I want to say thank you guys for having me and taking the time. And I'm real excited to be you guys' first guest from across the pond. So that's dope.
Respect,
you
know, man.
I always dig the way y'all talk, man. Like, yo, y'all got like a real super dope way of putting words out there. So across the pond, I think I'm gonna be saying that too. I'm gonna have to borrow that one, and I'm gonna borrow rate. I'm gonna be like, yo, I rate that. You know what I'm saying? So that's real dope. But yeah, people can go to Rex Hip Hop on my IG. And the link is in my bio for anything Rex, like from my YouTube to my Facebook to my to all the other different links of things that I like get the music out with. There's a smart URL where people can stream the album, buy the physicals, and the vinyl itself has like a red, black, and green for the Pan-African colors, a red, black, and green splatter all over the vinyl. It's a real unique limited edition. Get you a copy before there are no more. So I appreciate you guys for taking the time, man.
All good, man. It's been an absolute pleasure. And also, you got the videos out for Legacy Driven and Animal Kingdom out too. As a side note, man, Animal Kingdom, I love that little like mural you walk past with like the Jawas and C-3PO and shit on. I was just like, oh, come on, man. Star Wars is my shit.
That area, I'll tell you one thing. When I do the show in Miami, that area will be the backdrop for that Miami show. That area is definitely going to be touched upon again. It's super dope to be in Wynwood. Is the art district in Miami. So many fabulous artists out there, and it's only right that we do our thing for the Miami show in that environment. So I'm excited about that.
Respect, man, respect. So again, things out now on all good platforms. Hit up Rex's Instagram for all the details. Aiden, where can you find the podcast, man?
Find on all streaming platforms, YouTube. We're not on Netflix yet, but we're waiting it. Spotify, iTunes, whatever, all streaming platforms. Go check it out, like, subscribe, comment, or not. I'm not
sure if you'll be able to listen to this in German, Rex, but we'll try to sort something out for you, like some subtitles or something.
I'll write my own German translation for
you. Oh, shit, man.
I appreciate you,
man. Take care.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Peace. Static for life. Say, lift. Left, right. Wing hates the bullshit, but loves the fetus to death, right? Breed of defeatist morality till there's no feet left, right? Teach us the killer mentality to shove us to tech. We are just another formality of government debt. But Lord, what's worse is even after I served, after I followed the scriptures and honored the word, after I fought for America, got what I deserved, I came back to racism absurd. You look down on me while I pick the garbage to enjoy a meal on the curb. I'm like, what's your thoughts on your bird's eye, bitch? You probably thinking I'm itching for my post-traumatic, huh?
Is it because I'm twitching from the most dramatic shit I've ever seen? My commanding officer yelling at the pregnant woman to drink from the latrine. Little baby body laying face down in the ravine. I thought I'd be an action figure. Kung Fu grip, that ain't even the half, my nigga. When I needed medication, the doctor wouldn't respond. Even when I told him I was the very first to respond, he said, step, left, right, left, right. Step, left, right, left, right. Step, left, right, right, left, right, left, right. Complexities of our complexion, different shape and size. Look in the eye, see your reflection. What we feed mind and body, it shows. You alkaline, the skin glows. Pharmaceutical companies pimp us like hoes with quick fixes, mixing elixirs. Too addictive, mama's prescription list of side effects. Small printing, it's all business. Industrial revolution music, you listen to it to just numb the reality. Desensitized mentality, tablet to tongue to have relief. The doctor's bedside manner make Nana have belief. Soy in the soil, tap water we need to boil. No seeds, it's GMO. If it grow, it needs to spoil. Man-made manipulation, impure, it's unnatural. Doctors say we said it, it's factual. Watch your pH scale. Don't let them sell you on depression pills and chemo. Lessons from the keynote speaker on systems we know. Step, left, right, left, right. Step, left, right, left, right. Right, left, right, right, left, right, left.